Okay, we're rolling.
Wait a minute. That's a really good ribald woodworker's joke.
Ribald.
That doesn't fit that round hole.
That you pegged that one.
It's not my
Oh,
leg
come
that's
on
pegged.
now. This whole we're need to get back on track. This,
It's not my
God,
leg that's pegged.
this humor is so cherry.
This whole thing is splintering to beat hell.
It's going against the grain. I'm just saying.
Give me a hard
Naughty
wood.
to it.
I can't.
That was my next one.
I love
That's a good
naughty.
one.
I love naughty wood.
You know it
Oh,
all.
that would is so naughty.
All right. We've been rolling. So here we
You're
go.
welcome.
Downhill
That
for
was
quite
for
a
the
while.
Patriots. That was for the Patriots.
Yeah,
It's all Patreon.
Please be a patron. Please be a patron. Please.
Or we'll do OnlyFans.
Wait a minute. Don't we have to start a Patreon?
We like to call it a Patreon.
That's our bread. You don't give us money for a Patreon, we're doing OnlyFans. Money will flow in.
It's only flans.
On flans. This is Dr. Tom.
Oh, this is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight. So many character actors. Gadfly.
This is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing.
Radio, so outdated.
This is you, Dr. Tar.
Oh, sorry.
I was deep in unconsciousness.
I was dwelling in this movie here. Anyway, my pick this week was a movie I found on Prime, The Ninth Configuration. A 1980 movie by William Friedkin.
No, Blatty.
No,
Blatty. William Peter Blatty.
I'm sorry.
William Peter Blatty.
You're right. Sorry. I was totally sorry. You're right. Sorry.
We know we're right.
He was Friedkin balling.
I don't even have it in my notes, damn it. It's right there. I said that. But anyway. Yes. And he actually has a small part in the movie. He plays the younger Kane in the movie. But the movie is The Ninth Configuration. It's a story about an experimental mental facility sponsored by the military. Towards the end of the Vietnam War, trying to figure out why so many cases of psychosis were popping up in situations where they shouldn't have, but anyway, trying to diagnose if they were real or fake. But anyway, they come to they come upon one of these facilities, and how do I set this up? Let me kind of backtrack. The reason I picked
a new
this
warden movie, is coming in, basically.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yeah, the new head psychiatrist.
The new head psychiatrist, yes.
Right, is on his way.
Right, but let me kind of backtrack. What set me up to watch this movie, though, I saw the trailer. The trailer did a good job. It reminded me of The System of Dr. Tar and Catch 22. And it was, and anyway,
Catch
that kind of intrigued me.
Go.
So I'd watch it, yeah. So, yeah, there's a new psychiatrist coming to. Oh, let me backtrack again. This place that's all being held at is like this castle.
A beautiful castle. One of the characters
castle.
Of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's this castle that you wouldn't find in America. But anyway.
Yes, you will. Yes, you would.
Well, there in
rich
Oregon,
people, right rich there. People would hire, would bring, have brought over.
No, I agree. Yes, countries. I'm just saying.
I would just say
normally you would not see that.
Normally,
because it always looks like a.
Yes. You added that qualifier, so I agree. Now move on.
All right.
I don't know. Where were you? Where were you? You were backtracking.
Yes, I know. I meant
credits,
where he gets
credits, movie
where they bring in where they bring in the new psychiatrist and he's introduced to the inmates, or I don't want to say inmates, but the patients, and they're all soldiers that have been diagnosed with some kind of psychosis or stuff.
Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're trying to determine if they're faking it or not. But anyway.
Stacy Keach is the new guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Played brilliantly, I thought.
Without
a really good performance. And yes, and like, oh, I didn't know he,
so
he looks Joaquin Phoenix. Shared the very similar.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
And that's why I kept saying, like, oh my God, he could be Joaquin Phoenix. I can see him playing this role. As he begins to unravel, you know. Yeah.
Oh, what was it? He was already unraveled, but
well, right. But you don't know that.
Right.
No.
That's part of the movie. That's part of the plot.
Yeah, go back, I'm just turning it over.
Go ahead.
Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. You know, Stacy Keach arrives.
And he's introduced to the other, his, what I want to say, ward or his patient. And it's like a, they each have their own unique psychosis or whatever you want to call it. And they all, you know, and it turns out later on, you find out the files, they're all like very intelligent people. And it's just, it's, and then it becomes like, I don't know how to describe this. I'll turn it over to you guys. Tell me, he does, when he's, his treatments, I guess, are not normal.
Orthodox. Right.
Thank you. So
he's as crazy as they are. That
eventually, well,
you come to realize that. Yes.
You don't know that at first. He seems weird, but it doesn't. You know, but you don't. That slowly. Well, and there again, that's the whole object of this.
And Ned Flanders is a medic guy. Yeah,
you kind of find out that the doctor. The movie has a lot of side stuff going on that we're, you know, kind of glossing over, because each one of the patients is featured and showing their neuroses and, you know, how outrageous every one of them are.
Humorous and surreal.
But then you wonder, well, why do they humor him? Like, this guy wants dogs. Where are they getting all these dogs?
Right.
Why are they doing this? You know, that all becomes so, you know, well, the spacesuit. Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother story. There's all of these little side stories. And then the doctor is almost always with the psychiatrist, always talking to him, asking him things, you know, and you're always going, man, you know, this, and you learn early on that the doctor's way smarter than what he's acting, you know? So I kind of, you know, let me backtrack a little bit. I read the book written by William Peter Blatty in 1966. That's when it came out. Which is interesting because we have a parallel here with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which came out in 1962, and they have a similar path. The only difference is Blatty wrote, was it three? No, two reissues of Killer. The book is called Twinkle Twinkle Killer Kane. That's the name of the book. And he wrote two reissues of that, changing them slightly. And then the third one was in 1975. And then what, this movie came out in what, 80?
80.
So this the next, you know. And in between that time, wait a minute, when did, when did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest come out?
It was like 70s, that was, 76 or 78 or something like that.
Something like that.
76. Okay. But anyway, yeah. That comes out. There's just kind of like a parallel here. Which brings me, I guess, I've talked enough. Somebody else talk.
No, you're right. To continue that, I see also parallels with MASH. And parallels with Catch 22.
Yeah,
all of these movies that mm-hmm. were, because this movie feels like it's a 70s movie. I know it's 1980. They shot it in the late 70s.
Oh yeah,
it feels
yeah,
like
yeah.
it's yes. a it's like a 1970 movie with its structure, it with its chaos. You see that sense of mania in all of the characters, and that's one thing I find so effective. Like, oh, but it feels. A decade too, it came too late, you know. It does remind me of that. And then I love the actors. Some of them made their way into another freaking, you know, the yep. Exorcist 3, Ed Flanders, and Frank or Miller.
What's his name?
Miller is the last name. He plays the priest in The Exorcist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jason Miller.
I love Jason Miller. And especially in Exorcist 3 and Exorcist. I mean, in Exorcist, he's one of my favorite actors in those movies. It's like, wow, his performance. He's just so engaging. And in this movie, he's still a great performance. Great performances all around. So, but it's. Yeah. But then when you finally get to the. And I love the little things. Like, I noticed, like, the scene where you see the doctor and there's like a arrows pointing down to these jars and one said lemon drops. I'm like, okay, Ed Flanders plays this guy who's the doctor who likes lemon drops. And then 10 years later, he's in Exorcist 3 where he plays the priest who has a story about eating, getting addicted to lemon drops because he said, you know, that these teens come into confession.
I remember
and
that.
Between all that pot they breathe on you and the lemon drops, like became a lemon drop junkie, you know?
Did you see where in the background there, Joe Spinelli? Or is that his name?
Oh,
Spinell, yeah. Who went on to play Maniac. Like one of the most banned movies for a while there.
Yeah.
Well, his character wasn't in the book. He was friends with Blatty and said, "I want to be in your movie." And so they totally created his
character
for that movie.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Nepotism. That's interesting.
Hey, so you know, man.
Who else has read the book?
I've not.
Nobody
I'm not. It's on my list, and I want to. Because after watching this, I literally was like, this is Kurt Vonnegut. This is Catch 22. This is, you know, all these different things that are coming together. I don't know if it was completely successful.
There we go. Thank you.
But I enjoyed it.
I agree.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, and I love the fact that Blatty said, I'm just going to use all character actors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no star. We don't have a star. And because that story should not have a star.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even Stacy Keach
is the biggest star he was a star. I mean, he was a star.
He was, but.
None of the other people were ever really stars. So, I mean, so he did have a bit of a star.
He did, quote. But he did not upstage any of those people. Like
No.
They were all as important as he was. And that to me is an ensemble. That's an ensemble.
And you, spoiler alert, you eventually find out that the doctor is his brother.
Yeah.
And trying to, because he's got a severe psychosis. And I don't know if he thinks he's a psychiatrist.
He started to develop a second personality thinking that way.
So then here's my question. Are all the other people really crazy or are they plants?
A few were. You find that later on.
How do you find that out?
They had that meeting. Well, that was that guy that showed up.
Yeah, this is Vonnegut.
But I mean, I just think that's interesting, you know, and not really. I mean, I didn't really see. For some reason, I thought, you know, maybe it was just part of them were plants and some were real.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
Because I think the astronaut was not. I think he was real. I think he had a real.
Right.
Because we know that it was a whole focus on the colonel and helping him. Yeah. But they didn't say these. these other guys are all are not all the same way. I mean, it right. seemed to be a place where these people were being treated. But
yeah, they were still trying to determine.
But the only one that was prominent, not. The only one that was prominent was the astronaut, because he was well known to have flipped out.
Right.
You know, that was common knowledge. All the other guys could have been plants. And him,
very
not,
possible. Yeah.
You know, because the only reason I think so is because everything is so outrageous, and they let them get away with all kinds of just outrageous. That's one of the things I don't like about the movie. It's too over the top sometimes, just too over the top, trying too hard. You know,
to show how crazy they are.
It would have been good if he could have seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Because they do the same story way better. Yeah, it's not the same story, but the same premise, you know, same idea way better. Only it's not the tar and feather kind of turnaround, which this is kind of, you're right, Tar, does have kind of a tar and feather feel to it, you know?
The insane run, the insane asylum.
Well, yeah, just... in this, everybody was insane. So
then you see the effects. Between... it's such a strong commentary against the war, too. That's how I was taking it. That's why all those early 70s
movies. All those that were.
They were all just like.
Anti-war.
Know, to show that just the insanity of it. Catch-22 is so brilliant at that. You know, it's like, so I see that kind of a satirical quality almost.
That's the book.
And that treatment. Yeah.
The book has that true satire.
Okay.
It's real.
Okay.
This has satire. I mean, it's there, but it just, I don't know if anybody else thinks that. I just seemed like all the characters were just too far
too off. Much.
Too much, and too many of them. And, but they didn't have, like, when you get into, like, One Flew to the Cuckoo's Nest, all of those people were good at what they did. And, it wasn't this outrageous stuff, because they were truly crazy they truly had a neurosis because when you find out him flew over the cuckoo's nest, that almost all of them are there because they voluntarily.
And you have Milos Forman.
Yes.
That's a big thing. Blatty, this is his first directorial.
Yes, it is. He didn't do very many, I don't think, did he?
He didn't, but I will give him this, you know, like, I think, you know, I want to read the novel because I love everything. I love the Shakespeare dogs storyline.
Jason Miller McQuinney on this play. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all these weird things that are going on. What's the guy that is the one crazy guy that throws stuff off the shelves and stuff. He was in Bosch. He was in The Walking Dead, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love seeing that dude in a feature part, because he's really fucking good. Everybody is really fucking good in this movie.
They are. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was the first I'd ever even heard of this movie. Until I saw this, remember, like, and it was just literally this morning, like, oh fuck, I gotta watch this movie.
I'm glad it's fresh.
Well, it's funny.
Tar
was telling me, he said, I'm thinking about doing the Ninth Configuration. I said, oh, William Peter Blatty. Blatty. Right. I said, I read his book, Twinkle Twinkle Killer Kane.
Yeah.
And Tar just looked at me blankly. So
it's a great title. That's a great title.
Yeah. Why he didn't keep it for the movie, I don't know. I think that's kind of, I thought that was a mistake. That's a way more interesting title.
Well, I have no idea. Where does Ninth Configuration come from?
They say it in the movie.
Yeah
they do.
I mean, at the very beginning.
That's probably something that was added later. I don't remember any of that from the book, but it's been a long, I probably read the book when it came out, and I think I've only read it twice, and you know, and those were really close together, and that was what did I say, what year did it come out, 62 or something?
Yeah.
Or 60,
right.
Yeah.
66
yeah. And the other one, yeah, because One Flew Over the, yeah, whatever, anyway, but yeah, wow. Overall I found the movie okay, but I don't know.
It missed on some marks. It
just lacked something for me. Whereas, you know, maybe I would have liked it better if I hadn't seen One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, which, you know, they're so similar. But I don't know. It just didn't seem to gel.
It kind of
as much for me. But I'll also say, you want to read it, Gadfly? Good, because I wasn't really impressed with the book. I thought it was okay, but I didn't really like it real well. Now, that's saying, and I'm saying that after how many years ago that I read it. So I could read it today and be totally opposite. Who knows, you know?
Well, I'll give it to the actors, and I'll give it to Blatty for getting only character actors. No, you know, like no real stars.
And the location.
And the location.
Great. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this reminds me of a similar movie. I don't remember the name of it. It was World War II, where it was toward the end of the war, where the inmates have been let out, and everyone else has fled the town. And so the inmates are all running the town, and then the American forces come in. They don't know that they're all you know, inmates.
Oh, it's the tar and feather syndrome. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, but yes, but.
Welcome to Psychoville.
It's a comedy just like that. I mean, this is much more of a comedy, leaning into the comedy aspect of it, you know. But it's, again, similar story.
How could it not be?
Doesn't ring a bell. The movie doesn't ring a bell.
I remember watching it like, oh, okay, this is entertaining. You know, I can see like, yeah, okay. It doesn't do anything particularly exciting, but it's like, okay. I think it came out in the 70s. So it's definitely got still got that sense of chaos, still got that sense of, satire and that.
Yeah.
So I said MASH, like that, the first
like MASH movie, yeah.
You know, that first movie is so dark in a lot of ways and grim, you know, and again, what it's reflecting on. So this felt very much like that kind of.
Who did the first MASH movie?
Altman
directed it. Altman.
Yes.
Well, and I would say that
the movie is good, but the book is better.
Yeah. The I think the combination of all those, we have Catch 22, we have this is very Vonnegut. Like this story, you know, it feels very Vonnegut. It's very strange. And the reason I liked Ninth Configuration was because of the individual characters.
Yeah.
And their interaction with Stacy Keach, you know, his character. To me, that was the story. Everything else I didn't care about. I just loved that kind of interaction and that kind of, it felt very honest. I don't know. You know, there was something that somebody was tapping into with that story, felt very honest.
The connection to humanity. You know,
the book is the book is that way too. I mean, it's not that I dislike the book. It just, like, if I had to name my top books, that wouldn't be one of them. You know? Right. But there again, like I said, now I'm probably going to have to go back and read the damn thing.
I like Legion less than I like The Exorcist, you know. The novelization of that. That one was scary. Legion feels weird, you know. And I think it's because of the character, Kinderman, the way he speaks sometimes and his thought process. It's a little like, I don't know where you're going, you know, what you're doing. But we'll have to talk about that later on down the road, the film version of that, Exorcist 3.
The guy doing the Shakespeare with the dogs.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm like, that's brilliant. That was a brilliant storyline, you know, that you pepper in there. And then the fact that the guy is like, this dog's suffocating. You got to get that off of him.
But the dog doesn't suffocate.
It doesn't. There's so much in this that's very, very colorful. I would really like to watch this again.
Go ahead.
Just one more point about the dogs. I thought the funniest line or the funniest part when he was talking about casting Hamlet. Well, there's a Great Dane, but would that be too spot on?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh fuck. I'm like, my dad.
I got a chuckle out of that one. Yeah.
Like, yes, that, because it was just like so matter of fact, and it went right on to something like immediately. Like you just had to, it was there. I'm like, oh yeah, oh that was so good. Yeah.
I want to cast this as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. But they're female. Ooh. That's a female dog.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That was great. And I, Jason Miller, I just really just like him as an actor. He just kind of, you know, I see Father Karras in every role.
He wasn't in a whole lot of stuff, was he?
No, didn't he do a lot of TV?
Did a lot of TV.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Well, I think that's why I like this movie, is because I love all those actors. I remember them from everywhere that they were. And I'm like, that's Robert comfort Loja. To me. Yeah, it's
Robert Loggia, which is a very small part.
Yeah,
but he was singing blackface in the hall with the other guy sitting there watching him.
Wait, who did the blackface? Was that Robert Loggia?
Yeah, he's singing. What was he singing? And the other guy, the black guy, was watching him.
Yeah, just kind of like S, with the S on his shirt.
Yeah. Superman. Yeah, he's Superman.
The Superman. Yeah. Yeah. I think there again, some of the plants too. You know, but that also has subtext.
Yeah.
That's a good writing and directorial skill there. You know, to incorporate that stuff more subtly than you know, blattingly. Oh, I mean blatantly.
Nice. Yeah. What? No, I appreciate.
He was a little incontinent there, but that was all right.
But overall, I kind of enjoyed it, and it made me there again. It prompted me to want to go back and read the book again, and just kind of see because I just wish that it had. I'm sorry. I just wish the movie had more of a connection with me. For some reason, I just couldn't quite connect with it like I do a lot of movies. Agreed. But I really did enjoy it. A good, interesting,
worth a watch
of a rendition of a book that, and especially a book that he wrote.
A really strong anti-war story. I think it just feels like it, if it had come out in 1975, it would have blended right in. So that's what it feels like.
I think even in the 80s, it was coming out in the 80s,
The look of it, the feel, the chaos reminds me of that 70s. That
it does.
It looks like 70s.
The cop movies of the early 70s, there's one with Burt Reynolds.
The biker gang looks very 70s.
Very 70s, that kind of tropey story.
Butch Cassidy and his Sundance Kid.
But we had to have something to provoke the Killer Kane to come back out of him,
But the end, Killer Kane gives the medal back. He gets the medal and he looks at it
From the astronaut.
From the astronaut, and he's
Caudway or whatever his name. One name. Yeah.
Well, that dude was in
Cutway
Bosch.
Or
he was Cutway. In Bosch. Yeah, he was in Bosch.
Yeah, yes.
And he was in The Walking Dead. He was one of the.
I wouldn't know that. But I knew he was. Yeah,
he was one of the big, people in Walking Dead, the original. But yeah, that part was great, and the religious part of everything didn't bother me at all. I'm because it didn't feel religious. It felt spiritual. It felt like, we get coincidence. We get serendipity. And I think, to me, that's far more religious.
But what the real capper at the end, where he's out looking, gets back in the car, and there's the medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Now, that is what?
Supernatural.
That's pure supernatural.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
We've entered the world of magical realism.
Just so weird. Yeah.
And I really like that.
Pretty much the end,
And it was so.
That was a good. That was one of the best things that.
Yeah.
Because I did not expect that.
Give me evidence. I want to see some kind of. Will you give me evidence of the afterlife?
Show me a sign. And when that. What he told him, it's like, I'll try. Right. Yeah.
And then we also see that the astronaut is the one who actually gets help. Like the whole point. Him being there and helping, and
shock therapy,
the sacrifice, and
I think it was that duality, between Killer Kane and the astronaut, and the way he dies, because he kills himself, and that's just it's so anticlimactic, because you don't know until you see that, subtle, just nice and, not over the top. And there again, that lends to the whole credence of the movie,
His character's always acting tired anyway. So it's just like at the end, and you think it's just mental exhaustion and just like that.
But then he has the flashbacks,
Yeah.
You find out he is Killer Kane.
He really was
a killer.
Yeah. I knew
behind
that.
Behind enemy lines, killer.
Yeah. As soon as he said it was my brother, I'm like, no, that's you, But this is why I will love this movie is because it is unconventional. It
It is.
It is unconventional. It has conventions, but it goes outside of that, and that's why I would say I say Kurt Vonnegut, and I say there's something about
it
this.
Has a cult following, I guess.
Well, and Catch 22, when somebody said Catch 22, I'm like, that was my first thought. Mm-hmm. You know, about 10 minutes into the movie, I'm like, this is Catch 22.
Yeah.
I'm like, which one's major?
Yeah, really. Anyway.
But anyway. Good.
So, yeah. Anything else? I mean,
I liked it.
I really enjoyed it. I like
what Gadfly said. I like these actors, and I like the roles that they're playing. And I love the Shakespeare dogs and the casting, all of them.
Yeah, I thought they all did.
But I loved all the different lunacies, Superman, everybody. Like I just, they were all here, and I love seeing
those a little bit at the top
as a doctor, the doctor in charge. And I like seeing him again, because they're like, oh, he was playing a very similar role to what he did in Exorcist 3. I love that movie so much. So I brought a lot of that love for these actors into it anyway. But it was unexpected, and it reminded me of something much earlier. But I thought, again, didn't always work, but I like what they were trying to do. And it covered the feeling of that chaos and just topsy-turvy and damage and trauma and coming to terms with all that. I mean, it still kind of forced you through that. So I thought it was an effective tool, like a tool in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate this being brought to my attention, because I was not...
Never knew about it?
No, at all. Okay. You know?
I didn't know that, I hadn't thought about that.
No. So I appreciate... Yeah, I'm glad to watch it. Like, oh, that's good.
You're welcome.
I only had known about it because the whole association with the book. But I had never seen the movie.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I had never seen the movie. I knew about it. I knew it was out there, but I'd never taken the time to watch it. So it was a revelation for me, too. Well,
and at that time, you never saw Stacy Keach without a mustache.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. He did have a really bad wig.
Why?
His wig was pretty bad. But anyway. There we go.
All right. We out of here?
On that note.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
That's the wrong one.
I was going to say, like, wait a minute. Did we just hear that one last
time? Who did you want?
Yeah, more royalties for Dr. Head.
Wait.
The only thing I know. Konnichiwa, hi, and mush mush.
You played more than 6 seconds.
Hey, you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You get royalties off that.
That's right. Yes. Sweet. Thanks, Jerry.
I'm the Hamburglar.
That's right.
Ham fingered burglar.
Hey, hey. Meaty digits.
Digits, yeah, I forgot.
And you have been listening to...
It's insane. Radio.
This is Radio Borgo Pass. Hello?
I bring you my coach and my bat. Thank you. Speaking of coaches and bats, Unsane Radio can be experienced in various places. Go look them up. Tar and Feather? Who cares?
Yeah, fuck those guys. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast.
Yeah, fuck that too.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTube. Yeah, Montag Lewis on the Instagram.
Ah, fuck it all.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And then there's We Freaks.
And we apologize to everyone.
We Freaks. Stop. We Freaks is on Facebook. It's family friendly. It's very family friendly. It's beautiful. It's done with great love. and admiration, and we love them tremendously. You can see them on Facebook. They are so wonderful and beautiful and uplifting. We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ, or Z. Yeah, motherfucker!
Is it Midnight Guidefly? No parole.
We were kind of expecting that.
Suspended some overtime in the sock filling factory.
My butt purse is full.
Sorry. I like big purses and I cannot lie.
That's a lot of things in there.
That's when they wrecked him.
It was retrieving the items that was the challenge.
The thing I always won at operation when I was a kid.
Wait a minute, sir.
Don't Here's touch the edge. Idea. Don't touch the edge. It's so close.
I had no idea this is what you could do with a cavity.